Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, agent listener. This is your mission should you choose to accept it. You will listen to an episode of a show called We're a Little Behind. We have already assembled a team to help facilitate you in completing this mission. Chris Gomez, pop culture analyst and human encyclopedia. He has a partial eidetic memory and his wit is unmatched in his field. Jen Gomez, tech and research specialist. She has been known to hack the GomezCast.com servers almost daily and can uncover most any factual statistics from the system link database codenamed IMDB. And Chelsea Bailey, weapons and combat expert. She will be useful in the most extreme cases of difficult situations. She is also your team's aesthetic diversion. This will come in most handy if you need to seduce Tom Hiddleston for codes and other sensitive information. The episode you have been charged with listening to will be about a well-known and very specific movie franchise headed by Tom Cruise. You'll also be uncovering details about no less than two new movies in theaters now. Be careful, agent listener, and good luck. This message will self-destruct in under 1 hour. You know, when the episode ends.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we have a special guest with us today.
Me.
Chelsea Bailey.
There you go.
Now, if you couldn't tell from that intro, we are obviously talking about Mission Impossible.
Yeah, we are.
Not so much the TV show.
No.
Because we're not really familiar with much of the TV show.
We're still a little behind on the show.
But we have watched the movies multiple times, and the first five, the ones that are out, we watched all in 1 week. One every day for the last 5 days.
And that's because Chelsea was a little behind.
I was a lot behind. I haven't seen any of them.
Okay.
Well,
is
I have now.
You
have
crazy.
Now.
Crazy.
Because you are not caught up.
I chose to accept the mission of watching all five.
Yeah, and those movies are really good.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
So let's start with one.
Okay.
So Mission Impossible.
Came out in 1996.
And you know what? It held up a lot better than I was expecting it to.
It holds up really well.
Because I haven't seen it in a while. But, yeah, I mean, obviously the technology that they were using is a little outdated, but it didn't really distract from the rest of the movie.
No. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, he's got email that has the whole whoosh, whoosh.
Windows 96?
95.
95,
yeah. And it was a big deal that they got information on the internet.
Yeah, it was, we have information from the internet.
Well, to be fair, even nowadays, is it really accurate information if you get it from the internet?
That's true. Well, I think at that point, they just took it as true because, I mean, no one was lying on the internet yet.
There's not a lot. Isn't that so funny to think about? There was no one thought, I can just say something false. I can say something fake. It was, okay, there's information that is being traveled through the internet. Like, people are passing information through the internet, so this is actual information.
Yeah. Oh, to be back in 1996.
Oh, no, I was four.
Ethan Hunt was not... Oh, you shut up.
Sorry.
Was four. Ethan Hunt was not putting out tweets about where he was.
No.
But I will say this for one, I loved the train chase. Like the actual fight scene they had on top of the train. Because, I mean, even Skyfall, even though the train was going slower, the actuality of using physics to be like, oh, the wind is blowing really bad, I'll just let go and hit the bad guy. It was very well done and very realistic.
Yeah, they weren't standing up and fighting like on an Old West train going 5 miles an hour.
Exactly. Like,
this is a bullet train.
You know, I got to say that throughout all of the movies, the one staple is that there's a lot of realism. I mean, granted, I know they're fantastic action movies to where they're going to go above and beyond. But a lot of stuff in all the movies, throughout all the movies, there's a lot of basis in reality. Like, it doesn't make you suspend your belief in what you're seeing the way, right, like Fast and the Furious movies do.
Exactly, exactly. And Tom Cruise is so amazing in these movies. And he may be crazy, but the man knows how to make an action movie. And he does all his own stunts, which is insane.
I still want to know how he convinces insurance to let him do it.
Because not only does he do his own stunts, he actually does them.
Yes.
Yeah, and we'll be getting into a little bit of trivia about the fifth movie.
Sixth is coming out in the next couple months.
So the last one we watched, the fifth one.
Okay.
There's some interesting tidbits about that, but
interesting tidbits about all his stunts.
Yeah. He's just amazing.
So Mission Impossible. This was a reboot movie. They're turning a television series into movie franchise.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I mean, that's always been Hollywood's MO. They kind of like to take from books and everything. There's not a lot of originality in Hollywood anymore. I mean, there's some exceptions that we will absolutely talk about before the show ends.
Yes, we will.
Spoilers. Actually, no, foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
I'm going to talk about new stuff.
Yeah, foreshadowing.
Stuff that you shouldn't let yourself get behind on.
That's right. That's right. At the time, they were remaking all of these old action movies. Mm-hmm. Like, they redid the Mod Squad and, you know, didn't the A-Team get a movie or something?
Later on, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
way later. It's more recent.
So that was kind of the fad at the time in the late 90s to try to harken back to those adventure shows. Mm-hmm. And Mission Impossible just did it so well.
And the thing is, okay, so what happened was Tom Cruise decides, hey, I'm an action star. I need an action franchise. So what does he do? He gets super cheap rights to an old television show called Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
He takes everything that is cool about spy movies and puts them into this.
Yeah.
And gets the latest technology. So the first movie, and that's the thing he does with every one of the movies, 1 through 5, is that each one is done by a different director.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is done by Brian De Palma.
Mm-hmm.
So it has this very gritty, dark film noir feel.
Right.
And it has John Voight in it and Emilio Estevez.
Who plays his daughter, I mean wife.
No. Not Emilio Estevez.
No, that was...
Emilio Estevez is no...
Emmanuel. Like,
I'm like, what are you talking about?
It was Emmanuel.
Okay.
She played his
daughter.
And that was really distracting, but then hilarious. So she's obviously young enough to be his daughter, even his granddaughter. And so you don't buy as a married couple, so they had to make sure to put in the script a lot that she is his wife.
Yeah, like within the first 10 minutes, it was like 3 times.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, though, is that besides Ethan, he is the only character to return from the TV show. His character was in the TV show, and people were upset with the movie because they made him a bad guy.
Oh.
Because he wasn't originally a bad guy in the series. And so when he turns on Ethan and betrays him...
Oh, spoiler alert, by the way.
Okay, this movie came out in 1996. I think we're past the statute of limitation.
Had the show not been canceled or ended, who said that he wouldn't have been a bad guy in the next season?
Yeah, because he was a good guy for while.
Yeah, so a lot of people were upset at that. But that's just interesting that he was the only one.
Only making $60,000 a year. He was after so many years of putting his life on the line, so that's very possible, like, in the course, like, being serious, in the course of him going from when he started and then being a grizzled veteran, that he just doesn't like the fact that he's getting kind of the shaft on
Well, plus, that's kind of one of the plot points in this trailer for the one that's coming out, is the guy who's been disavowed and, you know, basically screwed over by his country however many times, how long does it take before you reach the point where you're done?
And apparently John Voight was done, apparently.
But it was good. I mean, they got everything in there. They had the whole face mask swapping. You know, there's a lot of face masks.
I think it's interesting that Ethan always has to take his mask off the same way. It's always the same dramatic reveal from left to right.
Well, everybody does that, except for the one villain in, I think, 2.
Who is wearing an Ethan Hunt mask.
Yeah, who's...
Right. Oddly enough, yes.
Right?
From back to front. But yeah, so...
Well, Ethan does take off one mask that way because he has to take it off quickly.
But this one gives you the most iconic scene of all the movies. Mm-hmm. Like, there's iconic scenes from every movie, but this is the most iconic from the franchise.
Right.
Which is the drop down on the harness, zip down, and then you're, like, hovering there.
Which he does in a couple of movies.
Right.
Yeah. He does it again, but this one is the one.
Yeah, this is the ultimate one. This is the go-to, this is the signature. And, I mean, and the way they go about it, oh, the temperature can't be raised, you can't make noise, you can't have touch the floor, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. And yeah, it still holds up.
And IMDb trivia, every time he would drop down to the floor, his head would hit the floor, so he had to put coins in his shoes to offset his balance.
So
boom, trivia.
Nice. But yeah, so that is that one started off. So interestingly enough, between 5 and 6, the 6th one's coming out this year in July, is the shortest amount of time between movies coming out.
Yeah, cuz the first one was 96 and then 2000
was the second one.
And then 2006.
Biggest gap.
2011.
5 years.
2015.
4 years.
And then 18.
3 years.
Yeah.
So do you ever feel like Tom Cruise is feeling that he's almost 55 and he can do it more?
Did you notice that between 2 and 6, it went, dropped a year every time. So it went 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get another one in 2020, aren't we?
Awesome.
That'd be great. But do I mean, it. Also post-production is probably getting faster.
Mission Impossible, retirement home. So we go from 1 to 2.
Right.
Which is easily the worst in the franchise.
It is. It's still not a terrible movie, but it's the bad of.
Yeah, it is terrible by comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was directed by John Woo.
Oh man, you don't go full Woo.
Never go full Woo.
I mean, he had unnecessary flips. He had doves flying as we skid on our shoulder, shooting two guns at the same time.
Car chases between Ethan and the new girl, because there's a new girl every movie.
There's a new girl every movie. Except 6 keeps the girl from 5.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they have the thing with the slow motion car chase where they're side by side and all of a sudden it literally has orchestrated music, the opera, as they're spinning in slow motion. Yeah, so bad. However, odd tie-in to a TV show here in this movie.
What's that?
Westworld.
Oh.
That's right.
It has Tandy Newton, who plays Maeve in Westworld.
Right.
And it has Anthony Hopkins, Sir Anthony Hopkins.
That's right.
Who is Dr. Robert Ford in Westworld.
So maybe none of this really happened. Maybe Ethan Hunt is a host. Maybe that's why he's so unstoppable.
Or is he like the Man in Black and he keeps coming back into the park and doing different adventures?
He is the man in black. He's the guy coming back, and all of these adventures are just scenarios and what are those called? Narratives. They're different. So every one of these missions that he's on is a different narrative. He's like super. Oh my gosh, Mission Impossible is just Tom Cruise's life. Tom Cruise has made Top Gun and all these other real movies. He earns so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it. So he builds theme parks that he gets to play through and be a super spy called Ethan Hunt. And it's like an escape room. Each movie is a different escape room where he's got to do, and that's kind of the reason why they're all done by different people.
That's true.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
I like it.
I think we figured it out.
I think that's what it is. And so Maeve.
I think we cracked it.
So Maeve in Westworld is just that same character who's been reused from the old Tom Cruise narrative to now be in the old West.
I feel like we need to rewatch season one of Westworld to see if there's a Mission Impossible reference between the two characters.
I like it.
Let's do it.
Oh, wow. This turned out cool.
Great. And season two of Westworld's coming out soon, so it's perfect timing.
If Tom Cruise is in it, I'm going to blow a gap.
Well, also in 2 has one of my least favorite stunts. It's amazing, but it's when the knife goes like directly pointed to his eyeball, which turns out was actually a real knife that was connected to a string with only a quarter inch of safety between the point of the knife and the blade and Tom Cruise's eyeball. And he told the stunt guy who was fighting him to go full force. And I would be like, I don't want to. If you've got a quarter of an inch, there's no room for error.
No. But it was attached to something that was holding it.
Like a carbon fiber wire.
Like a carbon fiber wire that only had a quarter inch of space between him and your eye. And when you're telling someone to go, hey, go full force towards my eyeball, no.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a terrible time for him to sneeze?
Oh, God.
Like, no. Not you, babe. And that's how Tom Cruise died.
Chris, he probably wouldn't die. Well, maybe.
No, well, if it knife goes through the eyeball.
He might die.
All right. So we've talked about the first two. Let's talk about the third one.
All right. So Mission Impossible 3... This one was directed by Mr. J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
And from this point on, J.J. is involved.
Yeah.
He doesn't direct any of the other ones, but he is a producer because they are part of the Bad Robot production company. This one, I think, really energized the franchise. Because one was good, two was terrible, and three brought it back. It didn't do as well in the box office because two was so bad. But still, three is, I really like three. I think
I
three
too.
Was really well done.
It has the signature J.J. Abrams lens flare.
Lots and lots of lens
flare. And
that's
the thing. The second one had a lot of flips. It was this really weird aesthetic feel of,
it was,
of he's a gymnast because he kept doing
it was
flips,
trying to be a kung
flips,
fu movie
flips.
In a spy thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Woo.
Yeah. And three felt very real. Like, it
yeah.
had a lot of realism.
It brought it back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And they introduced Michelle Moynihan in this one,
mm-hmm.
and it's just good. Lawrence Fishburne. There's
oh,
a lot
yeah,
of there's a lot of one-time shot actors in all these movies. You're just like, wow. So because Anthony Hopkins and Tandy
oh, yeah.
Newton was one-shot deal. Lawrence Fishburne so far has been one-shot deal.
And Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell. I didn't even recognize at first until I looked it up, and then once I knew who she was, I said, oh, okay. That's who that is.
Her death scene is really awesome, too.
It really is. It's very good. But I think who stole the show in this movie? Philip Seymour Hoffman.
So good.
So good.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's amazing in almost everything that he did.
Right? Watching this really made us miss him.
The airplane interrogation scene
mm-hmm.
where he's like, I'm going to find out who you are. I'm going to find out who you love. I'm going to find out everything. I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill you in front of her and watch you die.
Well, I thought he was
like,
going to kill her and have him watch her
yeah,
die.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. But his delivery of him just stone-faced and that voice, that pattern to his voice, where he's just like, I'm going to watch you die. You're just like, ooh.
Well, it's even creepier when you know you have the upper hand and you don't have to yell or scream or, like, really get in someone's face. And you can just calmly be like, this is what I'm going to do. And it's even creepier because it's like, oh, that's really scary because you're not getting angry. You're not getting upset. You're in this zen neutral place. That's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I loved that one has a lot of running in it.
Oh, yeah.
Has
oh,
the
yeah.
longest
the
running
Shanghai
scene.
Run, which
so
is
much running.
So much running.
So much running.
Tom Cruise will run in all of his movies. We're very much aware of this. But this one literally has a scene that is 26 seconds long of him just running.
Running through Shanghai.
So we're gonna link to a video on our website. So check us out on gomezcast.com. And you can see the Screen Junkies honest trailer. And it covers the first four movies. And it's starring Cardio. Because, oh my gosh, he is always running.
He is
Tom Cruise is going to run. He's going to hang.
I think that's the one thing that almost took me out of it was I couldn't sprint for 30 seconds, you know, dodging through people and just have one long camera take, which on J.J. Abrams' part and the film crew to get that shot so fluid, and
mm-hmm.
I'm curious how many takes it took.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you know what else I like is Michelle Moynihan in this as his new... As his wife. As,
yeah, love interest, and then by the end of the film, wife.
Yeah, it's interesting to put, because instead of going the way of, oh, James Bond, or you're a spy, so everything is about landing the woman, like, the first one was not about that.
Mm-hmm.
The second one kind of was.
A little bit. He did have a relationship with
Tandy
Newton's
character.
With the girl, the sex object.
Yeah.
Well, she was 24, and if you looked at her, I mean, come on.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Tandy Newton looked really good at that point. She was 28.
28?
Yeah, she looks really good, but... After this point, so three to now, like, what I like about these is that he's a spy who's there to do the mission. It's not this, oh, I'm awesome, and so now I've got to use my sex appeal to get what I want.
Right, yeah.
These missions are about getting stuff done.
Mm-hmm. That's what I also liked about three and on, is he started getting physically hurt.
Yeah.
Like, limping and noticeably hurt, breaking bones.
Maybe that's because Tom Cruise is getting older and is starting to get a little, like, is it the new one where he breaks his foot?
Oh, yeah, he broke his ankle shooting
six.
Yeah.
There's video.
Well, yeah. So, absolutely. The thing about it is that I just really like that. And even when he has the, as they put it, the sex object of the women, they're not helpless at all. Like,
mm-hmm.
they're there for
oh, yeah.
a reason. They're
even
there.
Even Michelle, who is not a spy, she's a doctor or a nurse.
I
don't think it specified. But, like, she's a regular civilian. And, yeah, she does have her little action scene because she's obviously kidnapped. But she's not, you know, but she's still not the damsel in distress. She's able to look after herself.
You know what I just realized? The defibrillator they needed in three was in five.
Yeah.
Right?
So, well, I was a little afraid in 5 that it was going to re-trigger that implant in his head.
Oh, that's true.
Well, he probably had it removed.
Yeah, he probably had it removed by then.
Yeah. Brain surgery.
So, interesting little fact, just looking up that, Mission Impossible, the first one that was released in 1996, the U.S. gross was $180 million,
okay,
is what it made at the box office. Number 2 made $215 million, and then 3 dropped to $134.
Yeah, because people were like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on Wu.
Which, oh, goodness.
All right.
And that's really too bad, because it was a really good movie. But it came back around in 4, which we will get to after a break.
Yeah, we'll be taking a break. You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
It's the middle of the work week on Free Fire Radio, heard on KCNR 1460, your locally owned talk station. Wednesday, our featured guest is Adam McElvain, member of the Reading City Council. We will also hear about the Cascade Theater's production of the musical Oliver. The Cornerstone Bank featured business of the month is the Child Abuse Prevention Council. Free Fire Radio is your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves on KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
April of 45, a new play by Denise Dirk, and the first production of Anderson Redding DeHama Scholarship Theater, a nonprofit organization devoted to providing local educational grants to actors and theatrical technical crew members. The show runs April 5th through April 14th at the Anderson VFW Hall. Veterans and group discounts are available. Call 530-527-2507 to get yours today.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm special guest Chelsea Bailey.
Woo!
And we've been talking about the Mission Impossible movies.
Yes.
We covered 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was saying before the break, I want to reiterate, I like the fact that the women are not objectified fully. They're not. It's mm-hmm. not like they're their only purpose. Like,
right.
They are very important.
I feel like they're more there for the audience to objectify than the characters in the film.
Yeah. They're. And it's never a distraction from what he needs to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to what is probably my favorite in so far in the franchise, and that is Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Yes, this came out in 2011, and again, director switch. This one was directed by Brad Bird.
Known for his Pixar movies.
Known for his Pixar movies, which is amazing because All Pixar movies, or a lot of animation in general, always has a secret homage to an animation classroom, A113. And this is a class where a lot of the animators working in the industry today learned their craft. And so a lot of animated features will have this number somewhere. In Pixar movies, it's been a license plate. It's been, you know, a whole
everywhere,
bunch of things.
Yeah.
It actually comes up a lot in this movie.
I saw at least two.
Yeah. Yeah. At one point, it was on a class ring that was, of course, a spy thingamajigger, and it had engraved on it A113. And then another point, Ethan is calling in an extraction, and he says he's Agent A113. So it was really kind of fun. I like this one because I think Brad brought a sense of fun
mm-hmm.
to this movie. It's still serious. It's still an action flick, but it had a little bit of a humor side that was
the dialogue.
Yeah, that was helped along by Simon Pegg
and
yeah.
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
Which were both amazing in this movie. Now Simon Pegg was in the last one. He was in three, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't in it as much. But
he was a computer guy.
Right, but in Ghost Protocol, he really comes to be a part of the team.
Yeah, he was cleared for field work, as he put it.
Which
yeah.
is great, because when Ethan is like first introduced to him, what are you doing here? Oh, I passed my field test. I get to be in the field now. I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah.
It even opens great with him inside that prison.
Oh, yeah.
And talking, and he's like looking at the cameras, and they're having that back and forth.
He's like, I'm not going to open the door.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Twirls
Ethan, I'm not opening the door.
Twirls his fingers, points at the door.
I know what that means.
Fingers, points at the
but
door.
I'm not going to do it. Okay,
I'm going to wait. You're going to wait? Fine, I'll wait.
So this movie has one of the coolest, I mean, there's so many cool stunts, but in this one, he...
You can have a favorite.
Yeah, he scales the tallest building in the world, which is the building in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
The Burj Khalifa? Something
yeah.
like that?
And he actually freaking does it.
At 2,722 feet up in the air or something like that?
I mean,
with
come
those,
on.
With that glove.
Those come
gloves.
On.
Yeah. No, that's...
Tom Cruise is insane.
Tom Cruise knows what he's doing.
He trained like 6 months for that sequence is what I was reading, because I'm a martial artist, so I'm obsessed with stunt work. I just go all crazy over it. And so he trained for the climbing and all of that, but the thing that nobody anticipated, I guess, was the crosswinds. So the scenes where he's like getting climbing and he gets like blown against the windows and the glass is actually happening because of how fast the wind is moving up there.
Yeah.
That would be so scary.
I wouldn't do it.
So scary, but you know what? That's what he does.
It had a lot of really cool gadgets in this one.
Yeah, this one had my favorite gadget moment, which was they were breaking into the Kremlin, and they had to get into this door, but the hallway was guarded by a guard, and they set up this big screen that projected what was behind it, and as they pushed it forward, it locked onto the guard's eyes, and so it would track where he was looking so that the hallway would look proportionately correct. Oh, it was amazing. So good.
Yeah, it was everything that you kind of wanted from these. It was the pinnacle of like how these missions should go.
Mm-hmm.
It had all the tech gadgets. It had all the suspense of the danger. It had, yeah, just the right team.
Somebody hijacking and blowing up the Kremlin on you, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, that.
Yeah.
And it was the only story that carried over into another one.
Yeah, they actually talk about the results of this one in five. This one grossed $209 million, so it didn't quite reach number two's numbers, which I think number two did so well because people wanted it to be like number one.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one did a little better because, okay, three was good. Oh, you really, I think word of mouth, you didn't see it? Oh, you should see the new one because the last one was better. But you know who we haven't mentioned yet is Ving Rhames, who was the only person other than Tom Cruise to be in all the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, that's right.
Even in the smallest bit, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
He only makes a cameo in three.
Just to flip.
Yeah.
Just to flip Tom Cruise off.
Yeah. Off at the end.
He doesn't want to get paid to flip Tom Cruise off.
It's so great, like in this movie, that the dialogue is so great. Like when he's out there climbing, and it's, like, really super intense, and Jeremy Renner's character is calling back how much time they have left for him to get up there, and he's like, yeah, the countdown, not helping.
Jeremy Renner, again, when he is, like, swinging to get to the room, and he doesn't have enough rope, your thing's not long enough. Well, no, you know.
No kidding.
No kidding.
But with an expletive.
Yeah. Yeah. We replace the word kidding.
Yes.
He's all, it's not long enough. He's all, no kidding.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. But yeah, Ving Rhames is in all of them,
mm-hmm.
and he's great.
He is. He was cast originally in the first one as a hacker, because he is not what you would think a hacker would look like.
Oh, okay.
So they specifically went with the opposite of a hacker, and apparently the opposite of a hacker is Ving Rhames.
Okay.
I'll buy it.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Like, well, at no point was I ever looking at this going, he don't look like a hacker.
Well, didn't they cast one woman because it looked like Tom Cruise's celebrity crush?
Yeah, that's the next movie.
Okay, so. Next one. Spoiler alert, we haven't gotten there yet.
But, you know, so the...
in like 30 seconds.
The main girl in Ghost Protocol, you know, her sex appeal was used, just not with Tom. Like, mm-hmm. Ethan didn't want to get with this girl, but they used her to seduce people, which brings it to one of my favorite Jeremy Renner lines. Is that he's having to do some ridiculous stunt he's jumping through.
Yeah, he has to jump down like 3 stories into a fan.
And I'll catch you.
And Simon Pegg is going to catch him with a magnet.
Yeah,
because his suit is magnetized. And
yeah.
So he almost dies, because of course he does. But once he lands safely, he's like, okay, next time I seduce the rich guy.
Which is a great line.
And his delivery on that is just brilliant.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So, yeah. So, okay. So the next movie... is Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Now, Rogue Nation is similar to Ghost Protocol, in which the storyline carries over.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually talk about what happened.
At the end of Ghost Protocol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this one grossed 195, so again, it was a little down.
Wow. So really? That one was mm-hmm. less than Ghost Protocol?
Yep.
Wow. It's funny, the ones you don't think are going to be less are the ones that are.
Well, this one opens up with one of the most iconic now Tom Cruise moments, where he's hanging off of the side of an airplane as it's taking off, and he actually did it.
Yeah.
Yes, he what? Did. 8 times over the period of 2 days.
What?
So, back to Ghost Protocol, though, it has my favorite line of all the series,
mm-hmm.
which is where he gets the box to disable the nuke, and he's all... mission accomplished, and he pushes the button, and you think, and it's so great, because that would be so cheesy to be like, mission accomplished, boom, done. It doesn't work. So mm-hmm. he looks like a fool, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I love that that's there. He was like, okay, and they bring it up at the end of that movie, too.
Yeah, Ving Rhames says, you actually said that? You actually said mission accomplished?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's all, mission accomplished, button push, doesn't work. I'm like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So back to Rogue Nation.
So back to Rogue Nation. So yeah, the movie opens with him hanging off the plane. Like, that's the opening sequence. But the stunts in this movie, just, they keep upping the ante.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a great stunt in this movie that is taking place underwater. And they have to talk about how he has to hold his breath for 3 minutes. Ethan is looking a little apprehensive about this. And Simon Pegg's character is like, oh, no, you can do that. That's nothing.
You can hold your breath for 3 minutes. You'll be fine.
And what's interesting is that in training for this scene, Tom Cruise would hold his breath for 6 minutes.
They timed it. Mm-hmm.
To prove to the crew that he could do this.
Well, he also is trying to do it longer and longer to mess with the crew to see if he can get them to freak out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Tom Cruise.
I mean,
I think not my goal, but his goal, is to have it be where that's how he dies and that's how the franchise will end. Like, he doesn't have an out game for any of these movies. He's just going to keep making these movies until the movie kills him. I think that's how it goes.
Well, I'm surprised that the plane didn't.
Right?
Well, because, I mean, they had to, like, go through, like, the entire runway before the plane took off every time because a rock went through the propeller and hit him, and he thought he broke a rib.
Ugh. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Just insane.
And the people who were filming it were like, oh, he'll do one take. And as they're landing the first one, he's basically probably the same finger thing he did in Ghost Protocol to open the door. No, one more take. Let's keep going. And mm-hmm. so they ended up doing it a total of 8 times where he's just hanging. I can't.
I know.
Like, my brain just doesn't want to compute. Like, I don't think people should jump out of perfectly good airplanes with parachutes. And he's just, no parachute.
He did it backwards. Yeah, he did it backwards. He's like, backwards. I'm just going to get onto the plane and hang outside of it.
Yeah. So this movie introduces Rebecca Ferguson,
mm-hmm.
The actress, as Isla Faust. And she was cast because Tom Cruise's first celebrity crush was Ingrid Bergman.
Who is from Casablanca.
Casablanca. And Rebecca looks just like her.
Is that mm-hmm. why they kept going to Casablanca?
Yeah, yes. They actually went to Casablanca in the movie. Yeah, Casablanca, so, Morocco, because of, and to put that in there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because, so the character that she plays, his name is Ilsa, And that was Ingrid's name in Casablanca. That was her character in
Casablanca. I've never seen Casablanca, so I didn't catch any of that. Mm-hmm.
You should watch it once at least, yeah.
I'll put it on my list.
So that's really interesting. And she is now also in Six, which comes out this year.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the first female spy to transition to a new movie. Because Michelle Moynihan has been in these movies.
Since three. She's been in all three of them.
Yeah. Was she in this last one?
She wasn't in five.
She wasn't in five, was
she? Yeah, I don't think she was in five.
She's just in three and four.
Yeah, she was in three. She was at the very end of four. She's going to be in six, but she wasn't in five.
Okay, that's right.
But anyway, so.
Yeah, the underwater scene is
so
intense.
Good. Yeah, both him and Rebecca Ferguson had to train for that because they're both in that scene. And it's just insane. So if you ever get the chance to get the Blu-ray or the DVD or anything and watch the special features,
mm-hmm.
they are fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
They are really, really interesting. Just see just how crazy of a man Tom Cruise is.
He's intense.
Well, because, I mean, if we go back to how crazy Tom Cruise is what happened is they were trying to think of
a massive... say crazy in a positive way.
Yeah. And they were talking about trying to up the ante on stunts. So they took a model of an airplane and handed it to the director in a meeting with Tom Cruise. And they're like, well, what do you think we could do with this? And the director's like, why don't we have Tom Cruise hang out of the plane? And Tom Cruise is like, okay, let's do it.
Just insane.
Let's do it. I'm like...
What do you think next? Spacewalk?
Maybe. You always want to up the ante to space. That's your go-to.
I think that's the end. Although that's definitely where Fast and the Furious movies are heading.
Yes.
Which, by the way, we are going to be doing a two-episode show.
Yes, about Fast and Furious.
In May. So we're going to be talking about Fast and the Furious 1 through 4 in the first episode, and we'll be talking about 5 through 8 in the second episode, because they are two very different halves of a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
1 through 4, we'll talk about, but 5 through 8 is crazy.
We're gonna have our own sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. So anyway, Rogue Nation also brings in Alec Baldwin,
who
is also in 6. So it looks like the majority of the cast from 5 is returning for 6,
including the first time a director's returned.
Yes, exactly. The only person who's not returning is poor Mr. Jeremy Renner.
I am offended by that.
It's not his fault that he's Hawkeye and he's going to be in Infinity Wars.
He better be in Infinity War.
He is.
He is. That's why he wasn't in this.
Yeah.
I hope so.
No, Tom Cruise would not have had him return from 4 to 5 if he didn't like him.
That's true.
No,
I mean, the director that's coming back also worked on both of the Jack Reacher movies, was also Edge of Tomorrow, which is actually where Tom Cruise met the Eastwood, I can't remember his first name, who became the stunt coordinator for the rest of the Mission Impossible mm-hmm. films.
I think it's Wade Eastwood? Yeah.
I have no idea if there's any relation to Clint Eastwood, but...
No, he it didn't sound like it.
It didn't sound like it, but I found it funny. Of course, the stunt coordinator's last name was going to be Eastwood.
So yeah. Yes, Jeremy Renner is absolutely in Avengers Infinity War. So that is what he was doing and why he could not be in Fallout.
I hope he makes a cameo.
So.
Who knows?
Fallout. We don't know much.
Except that Tom
Cruise hasn't come out yet at this point.
Yeah, it comes out July 27th.
Which is
so if you're listening to this before July 27th
of 2018,
it has not come out yet.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this after July 27th, go see the movie because I'm sure it's awesome.
You're obviously behind.
You are behind. We won't be behind because we're absolutely seeing this when it comes
opening
out.
Opening week, yeah.
Because, oh my gosh, love these movies.
It was interesting to see Tom Cruise age between 1 and 5 when watching them in 5 days,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't age poorly.
No. He ages very well.
Like, he does, like, even watching the trailer for 6, he does not look 55 years old.
No. Yeah. He's, you know, I was flipping through the channels, so side note, I was flipping through the channels on TV the other day, and on The View, they were interviewing the three guys from the Clint Eastwood movie about the hijacker on the train.
Oh, 1517
or something like
1517,
that.
1517, the train from Aleppo.
Yeah, whatever. It was the true story of the terrorist who tried to take over the train and the three mm-hmm. guys who took him down, and then the three guys were in the movie themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they were talking about how they were working out, and Clint Eastwood would work out with them. And they were doing some exercise. I don't remember what it was. And they were giving each other a bad time about how many they could do. And Clint Eastwood overheard them, walked over and said, well, I could do that many when I was 75. Let's see how many I can do now. And he totally just put them to shame. At how old is he? Like 80?
Something.
87? Something like that. And
is he 87?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
You look it up. We'll take a break.
We
don't have much to talk about Fallout. Fallout is the sixth movie, and it looks great, and it looks like he's going rogue, but they always think he's going rogue.
Yeah, and
he's
for
not.
DC fans, it's the reason they had to have that horrible CGI on Superman.
Oh, is this the movie?
Yeah, because Henry Cavill was contractually obligated to have the mustache for reshoots. So when he was doing the reshoots for DC Superman, he couldn't shave it off, so that's why they had the CGI.
For Justice League.
For Justice League, yeah.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood will be 88 at the end of May.
Wow.
Wait, when's his birthday?
May 31st.
Hey, I share a birthday with Clint Eastwood.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, so that has covered the Mission Impossible franchise up to this point.
Yes, and when we come back, we will talk about some new stuff.
New stuff. We're not behind on.
We are not behind.
All right. You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hot cars!
And cool April nights.
The North State Signature Event roars back into Reading April 21st through the 29th. See classic cars that show and shine throughout the area all week long with the annual Friday night cruise down Hilltop Drive on the 27th and the big car show at the Reading Civic on Saturday the 28th. Awards, food, music, dances, why it's more fun than two teens in a rumble seat at the drive-in. Get the whole schedule by visiting coolaprilnights.com. Shine up your ride, put on your dancing shoes, and be part of Cool April Nights April 21st through the 29th.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
I'm Chelsea Bailey.
And we have been talking about the Mission Impossible franchise. Mm-hmm. We cleared that, and now, because we were behind, and now, something new for us. We're going to talk about new movies.
Yes, that we are not behind on.
We'd like to give a recommendation every so often. Obviously, we have opinions about stuff, like the Mission Impossible movies, and now we can tell you about things that we've seen that's fairly new that you can check out yourself.
You have an opinion, Chris? Mind blown.
Right?
So something new that we saw that just came out was A Quiet Place.
Directed by John Krasinski and
directed.
And starred. John Krasinski. Now, I've loved John Krasinski since The Office. There's been a couple of his other movies that I've enjoyed, but this is the most impressive work I've ever seen out of him.
I agree.
This is impressive on any scale.
So it's him and real-life wife Emily Blunt, and they play a married couple with some children. And they're in a world where these monsters will hunt you if you make sound.
Yeah, there was an alien invasion.
Yeah, and so they can't make any noise, and if they make any noise of any kind, then these monsters will come. And what I like about it is it just throws you in. And there's no preamble, there's no leading
exposition.
Up to what, nope, just this is the world and this is how you have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to do any spoilers because it just
we
came out.
We want you to go see
but
this.
But go see this movie. We give it our full endorsement.
The use of sound in the movie where everything has to be quiet is brilliant.
Brilliant.
The sound, the lack of sound leads to this whole environment that makes you feel engrossed in it.
Like, was it just me or did you feel like the entire theater was like holding their breath?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, people would drop things or try to open something and then immediately try to be quiet. Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever watched a movie because we watched the 10:15 p.m. showing.
Yeah.
On opening day.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first movie I've ever had in my life that I actually had nightmares the next night.
See, now, I for one, didn't find it that scary. Like, I didn't feel affected by it afterwards. I wasn't afraid of anything, you know, around the corner. And it didn't really give me bad dreams. But I absolutely loved the movie.
Well, the thing is like, movies like The Exorcist have portions in it that make you think about around you. So you're always like, oh, you know, there's a demon around the corner or whatever. And so in your environment outside after the movie, that will kind of haunt you.
Right.
This wasn't that. I feel that I was so scared by the movie because it was so suspenseful that the feeling is what caused the nightmares, not the actual movie
right.
itself.
Well, and it did such a good job of making you instantly care about this family and what they're going through mm-hmm. that you become emotionally invested really quickly. And every time something happens, you're like, no, 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 or whatever is going on. You just don't want it to happen. And it kind of puts you in that mental state of almost feeling like you're with that family.
Mm-hmm.
And the lack of dialogue is there. So they use a lot of sign language, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotion that they portray with their looks mm-hmm. and the way that they communicate.
Mm-hmm. And the children in this.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter who is deaf in the film was actually deaf in real life. Mm-hmm. And John Krasinski as like the producer, because he bought the rights full out. So kind of like Tom Cruise did with Mission Impossible. He said it was non-negotiable for him to have a deaf actress in that part. And it changed the entire essence on set because they had to learn it for her. And it really brought them all together.
Wow.
And you could really tell like how close they were.
And I think this movie really helps with the fact that John Krasinski is the new Jack Ryan in the Amazon Prime series, which is an action-based story. And I think this movie was kind of, you could look at it as an audition reel for that. Because while Quiet Place is not an action movie, per se, he is trying to protect his family. And so he has physicality in it
yeah.
that is necessary to fight monsters and save your family. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing mm-hmm. him as Jack Ryan.
I'm not quite sure that this is the one that would be considered the audition for Jack Ryan. Because he was in a movie recently about the Afghanistan.
That's true.
Which is
13 Hours.
Yeah, which is about is that the Benghazi thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was more of a Jack Ryan thing.
That's true.
This is, and the reason I say that is because I don't want to take away from the fact of how well it's acted,
mm-hmm.
how well the completely. Story is.
Emily Blunt deserves an Oscar.
This is an Oscar-caliber movie.
It really is.
Easily.
If it's not nominated for something, it's a shame.
Yeah, and, like Jordan Peele from Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for some reason, it was counted as a comedy. I don't know why.
Ridiculous.
This one's going to be counted as a horror movie
mm-hmm.
when it doesn't need to necessarily be. This is mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, it's a suspenseful movie.
Yeah.
It's scary because of the suspense. There's not, the jump scares, like in horror movies, are not really there.
Mm-hmm.
In most horror movies, it's something jumps out and you're always in danger of getting injured and tortured and whatever. This one, it's just suspenseful for, yeah. I believe Travis said it earlier today. He said it's you're scared for the people in the movie.
Right.
You're not scared
for you.
For you.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of things that are not going to get nominated for an Oscar, let's talk about Best Friends.
Oh, Best Friends.
Best Friends.
All right, so
Best Friends Volume 1.
Oh, volume one.
So on the show previously, we have talked about The Room. It was on our bad movie episode where we talked about Tommy Wiseau's The Room and how it is a terrible movie that is just so much fun to watch. So the two leads, if you can call them that, from The Room have now made this new movie called Best Friends. And
Volume 1.
Sorry, Volume 1. And I was a little afraid that they would have learned enough to try to make a seriously good movie and just fail at it and have it be a bad movie. But this movie did not disappoint. It was terrible for all the wonderful reasons that The Room was terrible. But you could tell they had a budget because they had a drone.
That's right. I forgot about all of the drone shots.
There were so many sky shots that...
Kevin pointed out the fact that he's pretty sure that most of this, like a vast majority more than The Room in this movie had establishing citywide shots.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a lot in The Room, but this one is even more. Like, they just kept cutting away to shots of the city because they had all... How many times was that darn Ferris wheel in this movie?
Yeah.
Well, plus you've got Tommy Wiseau as a mortician who brings the drifter Sestero.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the character's name at all because it's just Tommy and
John.
Greg.
John! Because he was Johnny in The Room,
that's
and now
right.
Greg is John in this. And Tommy's character is Harvey, which we don't even know until half an hour into the movie, and Greg's character is writing him a letter. Dear Harvey, we're like, who the heck is Harvey?
Well, it turns out that like Tommy Wiseau's character is collecting all of the golden teeth from the bodies that he's, you know, making pretty for the funerals that he loves, and he needs to honor them, and they need to look like celebrities at their funeral. And then they end up selling these
And he
teeth.
Makes masks.
It is.
He does. Oh, hey, another tie into Mission Impossible.
It is a ridiculous movie, but oh so fun to watch. And it unfortunately, it's not in wide release. So
it's not.
It was a Fathom event. And so we were able to... It only showed for one day here in Reading. And Volume 2 will premiere in June.
And to be fair, if you only see Volume 2, you didn't miss much in Volume 1 that we haven't filmed.
You're not
going to
be any more lost than the rest of us.
Yeah, it's absolutely... So this ends legitimately...
On a cliffhanger.
On a cliffhanger.
And, literally.
Literally.
Literally a cliffhanger.
Yeah. And the thing is that they then end it with the title card. It says...
The title card was there twice. At the beginning of the movie, they showed it, and then
twice.
They showed it again. I'm like, but wait,
yeah.
We know what we're watching.
And then they showed it again to end the movie,
uh-huh.
And it says Best Friends Volume 1, and then it goes into all these shots, and I still can't tell you right now if that was an epilogue, if that was a fever dream from what just happened at the end of the movie, or if it's a preview of the next movie. I can't tell you that because I don't
Symbolism.
Know.
Are we sure we all didn't just hallucinate the same thing?
That was, it was really
No,
weird.
I'm not sure at all.
It was a ton of pieces for no reason.
It was weird.
Like... It was,
and I cannot wait to
see
the next one, Frank.
It was about 90 seconds of scenes that looked like it could have been. At first, I thought it was a Usual Suspect situation,
mm-hmm.
where you see the end, and then it like recaps everything that you didn't see that was there the whole time. And I'm like, what's going on? Oh my gosh, did this turn into a really good movie? Did this turn into a crazy, awesome suspense where they
there
pulled the rug out from
twist?
Under you? No, they just threw weird scenes at you for no reason. That had no explanation.
And then once the movie was over, they had a behind-the-scenes segment, which was just clips from the movie we had just watched.
Oh, and Tommy talking about the script a little bit in a car.
Drinking Red Bull.
Yeah.
And then they had a music video in which Tommy starred, and then immediately after that, they had a behind-the-scenes segment of the video that was just clips of the video.
And Tommy Wiseau drinking Red Bull.
It is. Okay, so if you go and see Best Friends Volume 2 in June 4th.
June 4th, I think.
Here in Reading. Be sure to stay until the lights in the house come up, because there is a lot of crazy stuff in these movies. And there wasn't a lot of people at our showing, but...
Like half of them
half
left.
Of them left, and we're like, oh, no, you don't leave this kind
you
of movie that
no.
soon.
No.
And they missed out on some epicness.
They did.
Yeah.
Absolute epicness.
There's so much craziness. And, like, the whole thing about the selling the gold in the teeth, like, it made no sense. Who's buying it? At first he sold it to a dentist. Like, who? The dentist doesn't reuse the gold from the teeth. What?
Well, here's the other thing. By the end of the movie, you found out they've made, what, $3 million selling golden teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah. $2 million, I think.
$2 million? Yeah. Either way, $2 million selling
Okay, mine was better than yours.
Oh, I'm so glad Kevin's not here to see this.
Oh, he'll hear it. He'll hear it.
So that's really all you need to know. Except for that, if you're going to see Volume 2, Greg Sestero's character, the cliffhanger we're talking about, pushes Tommy Wiseau off the cliff. And that's where they leave it. So that's all you really need to know.
I really don't know what that ending scene was.
I don't know.
If you have already watched this one and you saw it and you're listening to this, please reach out to us.
Let us know.
Let us know what you think about that ending scene that makes absolutely no sense.
So be sure to visit us at GomezCast.com and search We're a Little Behind on Facebook. You can get all of our old episodes on our website. You can catch up with 2017 episodes on iTunes and on Alexa by enabling the MyCast skill.
Ooh, we're fancy.
Right?
Well, our special thanks to Chelsea Bailey for
being here. Thank you for letting me watch the movie.
Oh, you're welcome. You're quite welcome. And that signal, do you hear that beep, 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 beep? That tells us that that is the end of our show.
So let's go do an escape room.
Yeah, let's do that thing. Mm-hmm. All right, so thank you again for joining us. You have been listening to We're a Little Behind.
Good night. Bye.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.